Todd's given me the role this afternoon to encourage us when we pray for one another that we don't get bored. Anyone fall asleep when you pray? When we're going to say we're going to pray with one another? There's a couple of us who never fall asleep when we're going to say a prayer. I fall asleep when we pray. It's just, I don't know. It just happens. But when I was 18, a pastor in my life said, Matt, there are these other gifts of the Spirit you could use when you pray for one another. And I went, what? What are you talking about? I just thought it was memorization. So like when we're in a group and we go, who would like prayer? And everyone goes around, pray for my budgie, pray for my sick dog, pray for the cat. You know, I don't know why we pray for a lot of animals, but anyway, when I was growing up, that was kind of the prayer points in my small group, in my Bible study. And then I thought, you just got to remember what the person on your left said, and you're hanging on to that, because when the leader said it's time to pray, you're like, if I forget their name, this is bad. Is there anyone else who has a similar experience? No, just me. Well, even last week, the little young adults group that our church has, one of our girls confessed that in the group, there was only five of them, and when it came to that moment of praying for one another, she actually went, oh no, I've forgotten the person on my left's name, went to the bathroom, social media'd their life to remember their name, couldn't find the mutual friend, had to come back and just confess, I am so sorry, I forget your name. So if prayer ministry is in that kind of space, I just want to encourage us, there's more. Like there's more to praying with one another that's actually really exciting in the Lord, that actually really changes lives, as you've heard Todd even say tonight. And I don't know how much I need to convince us on this tonight. And I don't know how much just to like just go for it, send it, and then we're going to try it. So there's one extrovert in your room. Thank you, Todd. But I see this more as a quick workshop in order to get into groups of four or five and try. And I will guide. I will help you remember the person's name on your left. I will do as much as I can. You can totally say, I don't want to do this, and I'll give you an exit strategy. I get them at parties all the time. How do I get out of this convo? So I will give you a way out. Is that okay? But when I read the scriptures, when you read the scriptures, especially in 1 Corinthians, it's a team, it's a body, it's an everyone's in moment. Yeah. So I thought let's try that tonight. Well, that's what I've been asked to do anyway. So I will do that. So for me, what happened when I was 18 and this pastor in my life said, hey, Matt, there's more gifts you can use when you pray for another other than just remembering their name. I went, okay, well, what are they? And we're going to look at the main one tonight. Taught us about it. We were in a small group of five and said, so let's practice. And I can still remember the lounge room that I was in, the small group. It was like four of us that were there with our leader. And that moment where I tried the gift, you know, we're just trying to see whether I'm hearing right with God in order to bless this person. And absolutely panicked, absolutely didn't want to do it. It's just like for me with evangelism, there is plenty of moments I just don't want to do it. I'm frightened. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't want to be the weird one in the group. I don't know if anyone ever feels like that. And or it can just be like administration. I don't want to do it. It makes me angry. I'm bad at it. But you got to do it. All the admin people in the room said amen. There's two of us. Okay, good. So I gave it a go. And as I'm going to try and help us in the room around language, that's absolutely fine to be like, I might be wrong. I might be off. I might be just blowing wind. And so I hope it's helpful. And I still remember just speaking this word out and the person just going, wow, God is meeting with me because of what you and the group have shared. And that changed my whole moment. Whenever we're in a small group in my life and we say, let's pray for one another, it's changed my life, moving from being bored in Jesus, with Jesus, but finding prayer meetings sleepy, to being like on my toes. Because the Lord would love us to be on our toes in prayer meetings. And all the prayer people in the room said, amen. Yes? So, 1 Corinthians 14, as we just read, it began with saying, be eager for the gifts. Have you got it open? Or Cam, could we whack that up again? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love, which we're going to mention, and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So the first thing we want to say about this workshop is this works well when we are eager to do it. Or just be honest and just say, I don't want to do this. And then we can love you and look after you in that space, yeah? It's quite okay to say that. But for some of us who are like, no, I'd like to try. And the reason why I want to try is because the Lord is asking me to be eager about this. And also, I know that he could use little old me to help little old you in a much better space. And that would be amazing, wouldn't it? So this works a lot better if we say, I'm tired, I'm emotional, I've had a big month, but I'm eager to give this a go. Okay. Sorry if I stop and do that a little bit. It's the youth worker in me. Okay. So the first thing to say is this works a lot better if we are eager in our, just how we are, it works a lot better if we are eager. The main gift that Paul says, that the one that I want you to go after, is this gift called prophecy. I was born in an Anglican church. I was educated in a Baptist college, and I'm in an independent church today. And so I'm a little bit confused. And I say those things because this word prophecy stirs up weird movies. Yeah? Or weird graphics on Bible calendars. And it speaks about really bizarre moments and bizarre times. And that's been an unfortunate interpretation of this gift that we're given to use to help someone in our group be encouraged and strengthened and comforted. So the definition of prophecy, as Paul says, look at it in verse 3. Thanks, Cam. Verse 3, it's really simple. The gift of prophecy is about strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. It is about edifying the person in Christ, making Jesus personal, that we might say things like, God sees me and God knows me. That's kind of the point of this gift. In verse 29, which Cam hasn't got, which is fine, I know you could look it up, but trust me, it says this in verse 29. Of 1 Corinthians 14. Two or three prophets should speak and others should weigh carefully what is said. Why? Because in verse 25, when prophecy is given, people will, it says, will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. No, he's not. Yes, he is. And he sees you and he knows you and he is personally, and this is, I know this is an old cliche saying, but God is reading your mail. He knows exactly where you were last night. He knows exactly where you're at right now. He knows you and you see you. But it's fair enough that a lot of people who follow Jesus think that God's publicly, like for me, like and like in a group, I get it, but it's not super, super interested in me. He is, and I will just say that he is, and one of these gifts, which is called prophecy, is given so that when we use it individually, you and I might go, God's really in this place. God's really in this small group. I didn't think he was. I knew we're about him. I know we talk about him, but I just come and we do it and I go home. Well, stop that and say, I think we need to use some other gifts the Spirit has given in the context of love, that we might go, God's really on the move and he's really talking to me quite clearly. So that's the point of this gift, which is fantastic. So what I think this gift can sound like, encouraging, strengthening, and comforting, is could sound like this. I think the Lord might be wanting you to hear dot, dot, dot. Or it could be, hey, when we were praying for you and you were sharing about your life, a Bible verse came to mind. Maybe God wants you to think about that. In my language, then, I importantly use I think, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I think well, and sometimes I think not great. And sometimes these gifts have lost their space because we've been hurt by people saying, the Lord has said, Matt, you shall never wear a black top again. You should branch out and go deep brown, right? Which would be fair because I'm a bit stuck. But some of us have got burnt and hurt by the gift of prophecy. And I'm sorry, but some of us have got burnt and hurt by the lack of hospitality. Some of us have got hurt and burnt by Bible studies being led really badly. Some of us have got hurt and burnt by a well-meaning preacher saying some stuff, and I hope I don't join the club tonight, of some things, and you're like, I'm out. So let's not get rid of prophecy because I've been hurt or burnt or it's been too mysterious, because then we could do that with all of the gifts and then we're really stuck. So we can't, I don't think, not try it because of others being a bit of a bozo with it. Because otherwise, again, I'd have to do it with other things. Because I've been in church meetings by well-led, meaning people and have been asleep. And that's not right. We shouldn't be asleep. So, okay, sorry. I think I've made that point. So that's what it can sound like. I think the Lord might be wanting me to say this and share this with you for you to weigh it up, for you to consider it. I think this is a Bible verse. I think this is a song. Why we were thinking of you, this picture came to mind, this song came to mind, all the creative ways God has made us. Bring in all the art. Bring in all the ways that God speaks. Hey, while you were talking and you sounded really tired, I think you need a coffee. I'm going to get up and make you one. That's prophecy. No, it's not. Yes, it is, because the test is encouraging, strengthening, and comforting you. While we were wondering how the Lord might want to bless you, a lyric from U2 came to mind. Sorry for everyone who doesn't like U2, but it's just what I grew up on. It's all I got. And if the lyric that comes up passes the test of strengthening, encouraging, and comforting, if it smells and sounds like Jesus, give it a crack. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, Paul says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test them. Hold on to the good. So for me, there was a time when I was in England with Soul Survivor, when they were around, and I was in a small group, and someone had a prophetic word for me that was a bit, it was a bit big. It was a bit too big for me. And so I said to my friend next to me, what do I do with that? And they said, Matt, go and wash up the dishes. And I went, hang on a minute, that doesn't sound very spiritual. And they said, Matt, listen, if God is going to do it, God's going to do it. You can see the dishes need to be washed, go and do that. And that has earthed me in this gift every time. And I pass that on. That sometimes prophecy is like, oh, the prophet's in town. I know that's not happening these days. Like, I mean, it's like we could go the other way, but there's nothing super spiro about prophecy. prophecy is the same as hospitality, admin, leadership, folding up the chairs, doing the dishes. It's just a gift God wants to give so that someone in this room who needs a personal encouragement might receive it. All right, so let's talk about love very briefly, because most of us don't need convincing on this. 1 Corinthians 13 is strategically placed between chapter 12, which brings up all the gifts, which is chaotic. I mean, it'd be fun against the youth worker in me. I just love chaos. All those gifts in chapter 12, if they were operating and alive today, which they can be, it would be nuts. And between that and chapter 14, which just does say, hey, just make sure there's some order so everyone benefits. Absolutely. Chapter 13, please make love the central motivation with washing up and prophecy. Please make sure that love is the center of this all. Otherwise, it gets messy. Otherwise, we get hurt. Otherwise, some people get really full of pride. So for me, when I read 1 Corinthians 13, and often at a wedding, I am reminded love means, this is my understanding of this, is preferring what the other person needs above what I need. So even if I have a word to share with you, but you know what? I can see you're just in a mess and this word is really unhelpful. I'm just going to leave it. Because this is not about me. Prophecy is not about me. Prophecy is about encouraging you. And so in love, and as we get words and thoughts for one another, love has to be absolutely marinating this moment so that the person experiences what? Love. That's what they've got to experience. So love is the central importance. The last thing really I want to talk about is a model for it. And then if you're happy to try it, and if you're not happy, I'm going to give you a way out to the sausages. Is that all right? So here's a little model. It was passed on to me. It's worked for me. I'm a simple guy. I hope this works for you. It's like prophecy is like writing a birthday card. You remember the old days when you would get a birthday card, a physical card in an envelope, and it was filled with amazing words. Do you remember those days? Oh, you do? Oh, it's a generational moment. Yeah? These days, it's, hey, HB emoji. It's like, oh, come on, bro, you can do better than that. I mean, this is your one moment to pump me up, you know? So I think when we get into moments to pray for one another, very happy to pray for your budgerigard, but just like a birthday card, I'm going to wonder about you. I'm going to wonder what maybe God would like to say to you. I'm going to wonder, because a brilliant birthday card has some thought behind it. Like, you've wondered about this person and you're thinking about them and you're wondering, what could I say to you that will really build you up? And then you have a crack. You write as long as you can go until your hand hurts, and you pass it on and you watch them speed read it, because we're really bad at receiving words. And then maybe they'll read it a little bit longer later and feel what? What might they feel at the end of that card? Yeah. So when we pray for one another, I will pray for your need. You said your need is the budgerigard. I will pray for Bertha, the blue budgerigard. I will, because that is loving. That's what you want. That's what we'll do. But then we will stop and say, Lord, is there something that we could, you might want to say in another way, or something else you'd like to add to it? We wait, not for too long. And please, as I learned at Cadets, wiggle your toes if you're struggling to stay awake. And you're waiting and you're wondering, and then you just brave it and say, hey, Dorothy, this might be weird. Weigh it up, peg it out. We'll have sausages in a minute. But the thought that comes to mind is this. And you share that with them, you turn it into a prayer, and you move on. No one should get hurt from that. But here again is just my urging for this gift to come back into its part of praying for one another. You, as the prayer, you get switched on. You're on your toes. Anyone need to get on their toes? You get on your toes, and I wonder how God wants to personally make this person so that they explode. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome, Australians?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, it would. I mean, imagine going to your car, just too much words. Okay, sorry. I get too excited. So that's the model, right? It's a birthday card. Just think like that, give it a crack. And like all the gifts, as I like to finish and break us up into groups, like all the gifts, administration, prophecy, they have the same journey. You got to start somewhere. You just got to start somewhere, have a go, ask for help, eagerly get better at it so that other people feel blessed. It's exact, please, prophecy and admin are best buddies. They're not opposed. And the way we get better at it is exactly the same. We just got to start. So please, if all the hocus pocus thoughts around prophecy could just get out, and it just could be something normal and natural to say to one another over a cup of tea, hey, I just want to say you're great. That's a bit weird. Well, I hope the fruit of saying that blesses you.
Hey, it's Cam here. I just want to jump in quickly. If you're listening to this, this is the end of the formal teaching that Matt gave us. And then we move into a time of workshop where we gathered in groups and actually practiced what he was just speaking about. So if you're listening to this, feel free to skip past this, but I just wanted to leave it in as well to give you a bit of an idea about what we did in the service and, give you a bit of context as well.
All right, H3O, it is 5:08. We're only going to do this for 8 minutes. Ready? You got to make a group of 4 or 5. Could I ask leaders and elders of the church, I don't know how you're structured, but could you just break up and make sure you're in one of the groups? Is that okay? Just help one another. So let's make a group of 4 or 5. Let's stand. And if you would like to go to the bathroom and have a break, go for it and just chill. But if you're happy to make a group of 4 or 5, let's do that. Move the chairs. They're allowed to be moved. Let's go. So I'd love to run this moment like a workshop that hopefully gives you a chance to try and gives you a chance to, I don't want to do this. Both are fine. So introduce yourselves to one another. And would some of you in the group be happy to say, hey, if I did have prayer tonight, this is what it would be about. But just one or like one sentence vibes. Don't go into life right now. So if you would love some prayer tonight, what would you love some prayer for? Okay. So are you ready? Forgive me, we can do extended version later on, but just so that we can get some movement, this is a workshop moment. Would one of you in the group be happy to be prayed for? So would one of you be happy in the group to be prayed for? So could you do that first? Do that now as your group. Pick on someone. Okay, you done it? All right. So now I just want to remind us, please, again, you do not need to do anything. You can just sit there and text a friend. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. Or if you're happy to give this a go, make sure you know the person's name again and it's something you could pray for them about. But then just could I ask you, one person in the group to kick off, to say a prayer for that person, open and ask the Holy Spirit, is there other things you'd like to say for Dorothy? Wait, wonder, look around the room, wonder, and then as things come to mind, share them with language like, look, I think the Lord might want to say this, or what is coming to my mind is this, maybe that is helpful. Turn it into a prayer and give that a crack. So about four, I'll be the timekeeper, about 3-4 minutes. Ready?
go.